This is a Business's Mission podcast. Business's Mission. I'm Gaia Bort, your host.
The transition from living for God to living with Him. It's not complicated, but it's life-changing.
In this podcast series, we are seeking kingdom keys for business, life, and work. What can unlock the fullness of life promised by God in our daily lives, on the work floor? Bill Job is my co-host. He is an experienced Business's Mission entrepreneur and had several businesses in China. He learned to align his work with God and saw God's tangible involvement. What keys did he discover? So we'll learn from Bill, but we also invite guests from around the world. What are their stories? How do they see God move? May these conversations inspire you to see God and to expect His involvement in your daily working life. Well, thank you for joining us today. Today we have a treat. We have two guests in our studio today. And Bill is with us also, which is, I always like his remarks, his questions. But we are talking with Stephanie and Armando Royas from Costa Rica. And it's just a delightful couple. Bill and I got to know them through the course we are doing, Kingdom Mindsets for Business. And you'll be in for a treat and just intrigued also by their journey as they pioneered in so many ways. So welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you for having us. It's such an honor and a privilege because I am a big fan of your podcast.
Armando, it's good to see your smiling face.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I'm very happy to be here. And I think it's going to be a great time. And thank you for the smiling because it's not always in my face. I remember when I met Bill in a bus in Cyprus. And there was some trouble. And I was going down and up to the bus and see what was going on. And there was a guy sitting with a smiling his face all the time. I was like, who is this guy? And it was Bill. I didn't meet him at that time. So yeah, thank you for the smile. I will try to keep it.
Bill, your smile is contagious, it seems. Good to have you, Bill.
Thank you, Kay. It's great to be with you. It's good to see you and Stephanie and Armando. And today, I'm just feeding off Armando's smile, so it's working in reverse. Looking forward to more of that.
So here we are, you know, talking with two people living in Costa Rica, having some experience or quite a bit of experience in Business's Mission. We have a vision for Latinos going into BAM, embracing BAM, and encourage them to go out there. And you had quite a journey. Maybe we can kind of start way back. You know, you grew up in a pastor's family. So how was that like?
It was interesting. I think my parents started being the main pastors of the church when I was 16, I think. Since I can remember, they were always very involved in church and church projects, and we were always the first to arrive on Sunday morning with our cute dresses, my sister and I, so we were always there. And then my father was a businessman. He always had good business. He's a very bright businessman. We were living in Mexico. My mom is Mexican, and I was born in Mexico. And one time, a group of people from Costa Rica that knew them from before called them and say, like, I think we need you to come and pastor our church because our pastor is gone and we don't have... They went through a struggle, so they came back. We came back to Costa Rica as pastor. They were pastors, and it was quite a challenge because it was a very small church in a very small town with no real resources to pay for a big salary or something. So it was a struggle, but I always saw my parents like committing to whatever God took them. They will always say yes. So it was a good example for me. I started the youth group in the church because it was just like seven grown-ups and me. So I started the youth group, and Armando lived in a town nearby, like 20 minutes or 15 minutes from where we were. And he is also a pastor kid. So he was working with youth and with his brother in that church, and I started to connect with them just to learn how to do a youth group in our church. And that's how the friendship started.
And that's when also love started blossoming, Armando. So
I have to say, Stephanie has been always in love with me. So it was hard to... It's not true. No. Yeah, we know each other since we were kids, very, very young kids, because our parents have the same pastor at that time. So Stephanie's parents were part of the leadership of this one church, and my parents were part of the leadership of the other church in these two near towns. So we know each other since very long time. Also, our parents... both have this passion for see the people, the unreached people, come to Christ. So it was we become very close friends for a long time. And I have to give back to Stephanie too. go there. And it was we were the best friends for a long, long time. And I did also grow up in a pastor family. So my parents are pastors. They stay out. They are retired, and they are just working with the elders from the church. And my brother is the main pastor of the church now. I have a brother. He's 3 years older than me. And yeah, he's the pastor. Both churches are doing great, actually. Stephanie's parents' church, they are doing great. It's an amazing community, growing community, and my brother's church too. Yeah, but both of us always were thinking about the people that really don't know about Jesus and these far, far away places. And we always pray and pray to God to just help us to do something about it. And yeah. So we grew up in this community. We grew up in this part of Costa Rica. I'm a fully Costa Rican, 100% Costa Rica. So, and it was an honor to grow up in this family, in this environment. We enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, and it was good. You know, there is downsizes, and there is bad things about it sometimes, but it's mostly about people, because people is complicated and complex, but it's not about... my parents did a great job to show me the beautiful side of serving God, and Stephanie's parents too. And that's why every single member of our families is serving God in some way.
It must have been maybe pulling to you towards serving in the church. And here you are moving into this BAM, business as mission thing.
Yeah.
How did the journey look like? Well, when you were treated, was it your kind of business blood from your dad, Stephanie, or?
Both of our parents, yeah, have this business blood.
Well, I think so. I interestingly enough, I remember praying when I was very little, and I don't know why. I guess it's God guiding the way. Like, if I was going to inherit something from my father, please may it be the business mind that he had. Just because it's what I admire from him or something. But the thing is that we were, I was raised knowing that they wanted to go as missionaries, or like traditional missionaries somewhere. And that stroke, like, that left something on my heart. So since I was very little, they were planning, and they actually started a big project to go to Somalia with, it was a team of 14 people, I think, without counting the kids. And they fundraised for a lot of money to go there. They were going to set up a medical clinic in north part of Somalia. My father had made an assessment trip and things like that. And then someone sadly stole the money from the project. It was quite a lot of money. And my parents were the team leaders, so they had to face all the donors and everything. And it was a really rough time, but something stuck on me. And I always had like this idea, like, you know, nothing can happen to me. Like whenever I was afraid of something, if there was something going on, I remember saying like, it's okay. Everything is going to be okay because I haven't gone to Somalia and I can't die without going to Somalia. That was a promise. So that stuck on me. And but it was thinking, I was sure that I didn't want to serve inside the traditional church, like a pastor or something. It wasn't my thing. I was doing it just because I knew it was a season while I was in school and stuff. But I knew I wanted to go to the least rich people. I was thinking in traditional missions because we didn't know anything else. So and I think it's the same with Armando, right?
Yeah, both of our parents, I have to tell you, yeah, both of our parents did a really good job not forcing anything on us, but showing us the good parts of serving God. So my mom, when I was 18, she was saving for a cruise, I remember. She haven't gone yet. So and with that money, and she was saving for a long time, when I was 18, she said, you know what, Armando? I want you to go to North Africa for a month. What do you think? You want to go? I was like, yeah, I will. So she just paid for the ticket. I went for a short time trip to North Africa, and she knew what she was doing because she put that in our hearts already. But she wanted me to experience by myself. So I went there. I remember, and I spent probably 2 or 3 days just crying. And I got in love with that continent, with that people, with the environment. And I say, I want to serve God. I want to spend my life with these people. And I want to spend my life with the people that do not know about God and Jesus and have no opportunity to hear about or seeing, not hear, just seeing how the gospel look like in real life. And that was the way. So I came back, and after that, I got some studies and I went back again. I went back to Africa spend more time there. And it was good. When I was 18, I went to Africa first time. And when Stephanie was 18, also she went to Iraq, Middle East. And yeah, we say, we need to serve God and we need to do it. So we took, basically we took our, we believe that God already say pretty much everything that we need to know about how to serve him. He is one, the relationship with us, but he didn't say everything. So you have to use your common sense and say, okay, where can I use my potential to serve God? How can I use, where is the place that God wants me to be? And we call that place of maximum contribution. And we took a map and say, where is the place that nobody wants to go? And it was East Africa in that moment. So we say, let's go there.
Bill, you are here part of the whole conversation. When you listen to this, and what kind of questions or remarks come to mind?
The first thing that comes to mind is I just really want to thank both of your families for doing such a good job of introducing to you what the kingdom is really like in the church context, and not really just limiting it to that, but allowing the bigger understanding as well so that the door is open for understanding or encountering kind of what the Lord eventually did in the BAM world. But I also just am so grateful for your responsiveness, your willingness to go. The exploratory trips, the priming the pump kind of trips that your mom put before you, Armando. I'm so excited about hearing these stories, and it explains more and more of what I see in your lives now as I get to know you better. And so there's sometimes some tension between the church world and the BAM world because of some different focuses. And I love your example of being the crossovers. And maybe you will become quite influential in helping people to navigate that transition into the BAM world from other folks who have a more traditional background. So, Gaia, this is just a delightful conversation. It really is so encouraging to me to listen to.
You know, I'm the researcher of the two of us, from Bill, my co-host. So I did a pre-talk and with, preparation talk with Stephanie and Armando. And there's this big disaster, you know, your parents get robbed and, you know, they have to face the community. And still, I see how... And I agree with Bill. I mean, it's wonderful how your parents somehow instilled in you not anger or not bitterness or not like how, you know, we are working with the Lord. How can this happen? Of course, they will have had those questions. But tell us a bit more, you know, because you ended up going to Somalia in some way it seemed redeeming this dream of your parents. But maybe you can tell it better. Maybe I misunderstood.
Well, yeah. Well, we decided that, I guess because it was still in my heart, but still because it was still a place where nobody wanted to go. Like, we don't feel like we had a call, as many people say, you know, the Lord told me to go somewhere. We knew that there were places where nobody was going and showing and demonstrating the kingdom of God, and we wanted to go. So Somalia seemed a good fit, and I guess it was still in my heart. So we started working, and this was before we got married, and we started working with a group of young people from our churches, and we would do short-term trips to indigenous groups in Nicaragua and here in Costa Rica, just in preparation. In our minds, we were preparing to go somewhere else. And it was always Somalia, and we were always talking about Somalia. We started a movement to pray for Somalia and things like that. We even made a short-term trip once we got married. And we were supposed to take over an NGO in Somalia, the leadership of the NGO. There was a temporary team leading the NGO, working with street kids. And it was a wonderful trip. It was like a dream trip, like my dream vacation kind of thing, just because it was in my heart for so long. But when we came back, I remember we were jet lagged, and we were in my grandmother's house in Mexico, because we went through Mexico. And I remember one night I couldn't sleep, and I started crying and crying and crying, because the realization of how huge the need is in a country like Somalia was too big. And I kind of, like, the blindfold of my eyes came down, and I said, like, there's nothing we can do to actually help this situation. Like, if we have these 10 kids or 20 kids or 100 kids in this program, there's still going to be thousands out there. And if the UN and all of this Save the Children and all these huge organizations haven't been able to make a difference in so many years, how are we from Latin America, like this very small town from very humble backgrounds? I mean, we never live in need per se, but we are not a wealthy family or something. How are we going to be able to support this? How are we going to be able to not fundraise just to support our life in there, but a program to help children and things like that? So a lot of questions started to come into our minds. And that was the first big thing. Armando woke up, we started talking. And I remember there's this one song in Spanish from... Well, you don't know him probably, Jesus Adrian Romero. But it talks about, when I see your heart and I see what are the things that move your heart, talking about God, then my dreams fell apart. And I started really getting to feel that our dreams were falling apart. Like, our dreams were not what it was in God's heart. And After a little short after that, we were helping putting together a conference about missions, going to missions for China, not because we wanted to go to China, but because we were helping whatever we could do, right? So in a mission conference for China, God told us directly that our dream or our idea to go to Somalia was good, but it was ours and it wasn't his. He wanted us to be more strategic. So we had to decide if we wanted to put our dream for Somalia to go ourselves and live in Somalia now in this sacrifice table, like Abraham did with Isaac. And we did. And we said, like, okay, God, we don't know what this means. We don't know what it is for you. But if you believe that our strategic role is somewhere else, and we are going to be more helpful to your kingdom somewhere else, then here it is. And just give us back whatever you want to give us back. And that was the point where everything started to become bam. because we started to think in a more strategic way. We started to think, if we can't change a situation, a social situation so heavily, what can we do for these countries? We've seen how aid work, and I do believe in aid work, but I don't think it's a long-term solution. And we've seen it in Latin America, where you go to indigenous groups and things, and if you give and give and give, they get used to that, right? So we knew all these realities, and we knew the reality of Latino traditional missionaries struggling financially because it's harder to fundraise here. So we had all these questions about identity, if I have to lie or have a cover for my identity going to these countries, am I going to feel okay with that? Then the financial issue, of course, and the impact in the in these countries. We said, like, I think what we can do is helping them stand on their own feet and helping them develop their country, their communities, and not just giving away, right? So this is how everything started shifting, and we got to meet some incredible people and men that started to talk to us about what about business, like starting a business and things like that. And that's how everything started.
Tell us a bit about your side of the story, Armando.
Walk in the park. It was so easy. Oh my God. It was, yeah, just to think about that time, my heart just broke. And I feel like it was a very important time in our lives, and we were so young. And first of all, for you to understand, we worked for years with this group, and we were a team. We worked with them, and we were thinking that we are going to go to somewhere in Africa, and we were going to go together. So we start this prayer movement for years for Somalia. And we used to say, you come, go with us to these trips and experience God with your hands, is what we used to say. So I remember sometimes these young kids, and I was very young too, and they were just digging a hole to build a house, and they start crying, and they start saying, I don't know what is going on, and they just say, I don't know what is going on, but this is what I want to do the rest of my life. And we start making our decisions in life in order to be more strategic for this project. So we were a group of people preparing to go to one place. And when God first, well, we went to Somalia, we came back, I woke up in the middle of the night, my wife was crying. So my first thought as a normal husband was, oh my God, what did I do now? I know she was praying and crying, and I know that Stephanie is very sensible to the guidance of God. And I don't know why men, sometimes we are more proud about it, or I don't know why. But we start talking about it, and we start having this bunch of questions and questioning everything. And this is one of the rules of our lives, I think. Question every single thing that we do. And we start talking and talking. And in this conference that we were helping, that it was prepared for China, when God spoke to us, it was really tough. Because literally he said, just sharp is the word in English, sharp, your knife. And want your knife to be very well sharp. Because I may kill your dream. And when God told to our hearts and just put your dream, because this is the thing. God didn't obligate us to do nothing. He said, just go. I will be with you. You will be happy and you will go there. But the specific word that we feel from God was, this is your dream. And my dream is a kingdom. So it's okay if you go there, and I will be with you. But I have a dream, and my dream is the redemption of the whole world. And that was the point that was not turning back point. And we have to call our team, the team that we worked with them for years for this dream, and say, this is what God is telling us to do. So deal with that however you want. This is what God is telling us. So I remember literally everybody just went to a space and start crying and start asking God, every single one, and say, God, what do you want me to do? Is a decision that we have to make as a team and as a person too, individually. And God started showing us what happened at the end. What God is amazing, because God just give us back a bigger vision, a bigger dream, but we didn't know at the moment. He just opened our hearts and our minds for this passion for the kingdom of God and for the whole world and for his passion. And we didn't give up anything. I just want to be clear. We didn't give up anything. We just sacrifice ourselves, our dreams, our visions to God and say, God, what do you want me to do now? And it was beautiful, because God started growing our goal and growing our vision. And the realization at that moment was very simple. If we go there, we have to be honest with ourselves. It's going to be for our own good, not for the kingdom of God, because I want to feel good. I want to feel that I'm doing good things. I want to be the hero. Exactly. This is not my story to be the hero. So I don't want to be the hero. I just want to be a server.
Armando, do I understand that right? That giving aid to Somalians, that it can be, you know, that there might be also something in there, hey, we can feel very much a hero, good about it.
That is exactly what was happening. The thing was, going there, it was going to make me feel good. Not exactly for my story, not exactly the advance of the kingdom story. It was going to be for me to feel good myself, because we still do it. We love it. And we like to help in that way. But it's more in a specific way that sometimes, sadly, make you feel very, very needed. And people like to feel needed. People like to feel I need it somewhere. So it's not about me, it's about the kingdom of God. And that was the point that we have to say, we have to reevaluate everything. And if this means to stay in Costa Rica for the rest of our lives, we are fine with it. And yeah, we didn't stay here, by the way. It was no problem.
Well, we are already into our talk. That was not indeed the end of the story, but let me just track a little bit, because I like to have Bill's observations too. But I heard you say before, Armando, that you're thinking, hey, what is the most strategic opportunity that God... It seems like God is giving you both a real strategic mind. Is that or mind or calling, or is that me? One of the threads through this conversation is we can give everything to him. And that's wonderful. And do we allow him to readjust our path?
It's incredible because I believe our lives since that point have been aligned into a strategy. And this is one of the most incredible things about God, that we limit our life with him to what we call this spiritual, but he is the most strategic of all in all the work. So he does like putting plans together and showing you issues that he might not give you the entire solutions. But it's so incredible. Like even the next assessment trip that we did, instead of seeing all the needs of East Africa, because he changed our lenses, we started seeing opportunities, business opportunities, and economic connections between Latin America and Africa. Oh my God. Yeah, of course, this happened in Latin America not long ago, in Costa Rica not long ago. It was like this 15 years ago. It means that we understand what they are going through right now. So God shifted our minds and we started seeing opportunities and we started seeing strategies and things to do. And yeah, I think our path has been a path of a strategy and trying to figure out the way God wants to use us inside his plan. And it's been really fun to see the same thing we see it in the Bible. He always has a plan. He always has a strategy. I guess we are just not always looking for that when we come to him, right?
Yeah. Being a strategic is not an easy question to make to God. It's not an easy question because it's about, this is not my story. This is not my time to shine. It's God. I just want to be strategic for him to shine, for him to be the protagonist of this story in the world. There is a joke that I don't know if I can say it in Spanish, but this guy that sells shoes went to Africa and he came back. This company, a very fancy company, sent it to Africa, and he came back and said, "You are crazy. These people do not use shoes. What are you talking about? How do you send me to a continent where people at that time didn't use shoes?" So they sent a second seller, a second opinion, and send it to the same place. And this guy called the company and said, "Oh my God, you need to send me every single pair of shoes that you have, because this is the biggest market in the world. Nobody has a pair of shoes here." So that was exactly what happened to us. We went to East Africa. We saw the need, and we feel overwhelmed. And we went back a couple of years after that, and we were just so excited about the opportunity that God was showing us in that continent. And it's a continent full of opportunities. I think Africa has something you will see wherever you want to see. So you don't need to have a PhD to go to Africa and see poor people, but you need to be a spiritual guide to go to one place and see all the opportunities.
That's a wonderful way. And thank you. We are coming to the end of our podcast. And like I shared in the beginning, I think the listeners know now why we want to know more. But Bill, please, what did you hear? Please give your remarks.
I'm thinking of many of our listeners who may be wondering if they're actually hearing God or not, and what should they do with it. And in Stephanie and Armando's stories, over and over and over, you can see that they were receptive. They were paying attention to what God was saying. And he speaks in many different ways. But I would love for them to just address two quick questions. One is, just how can you encourage people that God really is communicating and they might actually be getting information from him or instruction or direction? But then how do you handle it when it's not what you expected, when you have to pull up more courage to shift direction, because he's shifting direction and you may not have a lot of support in this new direction? So that takes a different level of courage from my experience. And I think you guys are wonderful examples of that. And I do think that many in our audience are curious about that component, that part of walking with God, just being led by Him.
One of the things that I learned a long time ago from an American pastor was, you have to learn the way that God speaks to you, not to others. And in my particular case, I started, after talking to him, I started to think, okay, how does God speak to me? And in my particular case, he gives me ideas. And there are some ideas that are I kind of realize that they're too good for me to be mine, or sometimes too crazy. And although it feels scary or I feel anxious or something, there's some kind of excitement in that particular idea. So even if it's scary or it means shifting to a different direction, and I might, like in the case of changing from Somalia and from traditional missions to who knew what, right? Because at that point we didn't know. There was sadness because we were dying to a dream or something. But there was a some sort of excitement inside of us about thinking the possibilities. So in my experience, if there's a weird excitement feeling inside of you, just grab it and go with it. Just try to go with the flow that you're feeling inside.
I totally understand that. Armando, how about you? What could you say to encourage our listeners to have the courage to go with what maybe is coming to them as an excitement, or how did you receive and then respond to what the Lord was saying?
Well, I will say, usually it's through my wife.
I would go with that too.
Yeah, exactly, right? So because you hear this voice, and sometimes, many times through your wife, and you have to be humble. And actually, this is a joke, but it's true too. And in my case, well, sometimes I wish I can have this email that God sent it to me and I can just read it and follow up. But when I realized he sent a lot of emails and put it all in a book, and in that book turns out that it's alive when you put the spirit on it and you read it, I just feel sometimes the ideas that I have are too good to be mine. And I say, oh, this is really, really good. And I feel this excitement. But I use this verse that I have this peace in my heart. La paz de Dios que sobrepasa el entendimiento. The peace of God that overcomes the understanding. So it's just this special peace that you have in your heart. Even if it's a crazy thing, but you have this peace in your heart. This is okay. I don't know if it's going to work. Sometimes, many times, do not work, but I have this peace because God wants me to learn something, that God wants me to go through something and learn. So that's, in my case, that is how I feel that God is telling me something. I have to fight a lot with my human condition of just doubt in my heart, in my mind, when things don't go as I want to. But again, it's not my story, so. Yeah.
Well, thank you all. And this is the first of a series with the Costa Ricans, Armando and Stephanie. So we will hear from them again about their journey going as business as mission, BAM people, and starting in Ethiopia. We didn't talk about it this time, but they did a lot of research trips. And when I was doing this preparation talk, I was like, well, how did you pay for this? Because, you know, there's not a lot of wealth behind this. And there is this other business they started in Costa Rica, a school which paid for it. But that was, in the beginning phase, a business for mission, you know, paying for the mission. And they change this into integrating the mission in this school. So there's more podcasts to be listened to. And so keep following us in your favorite podcast app. And thank you very much, Stephanie, Armando, Bill.
Thank you, Pia.
Thank you. Such a good time.
Thank you, everyone.
This was Gea Goert from the Netherlands. Remember to visit bamoves.com and check out the course on Kingdom Mindsets for business, life and work. And in 2 weeks' time, we will be back with another episode. Follow us in your favorite podcast app so you won't miss the next one.